Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. We begin today's Shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Chof Hey. We continue with the general topic of moving around, tiltul of broken kalim, shivrei kalim. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we look at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, and we've written shivrei tanur yoshan. The Gemara will discuss the moving around of broken pieces of a tanur. Tanur is an oven, an old oven, or a used oven. We should point out, by way of introduction, that the concept of an oven, as far as the shas is concerned, you're dealing with a clay item, a clay vessel that was cylindrical, and most often it was placed on the ground and it was coated with mud to serve as a thickening of its walls, and thereby the coating reached from the top down to the ground, thereby, as we say, serving as an insulation, and coals were placed at the bottom, and heat would build up in the interior, and you could take then a bread, a dough that is, and slap it on the inside walls of this clay tanur, and things would bake. So let us now turn to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we open with a Tanaic source. Shivrei tanur yoshan, hare hein kechol hakelim hanitlim b'chotzer. The broken pieces, or the fragments of a used, literally an old tanur, are like any other vessel, and they can be moved around on Shabbos in a chotzer, in a courtyard, an enclosed area courtyard. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein nitlin. Rabbi Yehuda says they cannot be moved around. Heid Rabbi Yossi mishum Rabbi Lozer ben Yankiv al shivrei tanur yoshamshe nitlin b'Shabbos. So Rabbi Yossi, quoting Rabbi Lozer ben Yankiv, offers as testimony the teaching of Rabbi Lozer ben Yankiv, like Rabbi Meir, that they can be moved around. And he also pointed out the al kisuyo she'eno tzorach beis yad, and the cover, the lid of a tanur, does not need a handle. That even if it doesn't have a handle on it, it can be moved around. The Gemara now asks, b'mai komiflagi, what is the underlying point of the machlokis we see in this Tanaic source? Before we go further, though, we notice diamonds that appear, and on the side of our Gemara, under the mivneh heading, the structural note, a diamond appears, and they represent 3 deos, lahasbir machlokis, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. As you scan down your daf Gemara, you'll notice Abaye, Rava, and finally Rav Ashi appearing in diamonds. They explain the machlokis that we saw in this Tanaic source. As the Gemara unfolds, we will notice a double underline appearing, and they represent kushos al hezberim hanal. After Abaye offers his explanation, Rava will attack it with his question. Rava, in turn, gives an explanation, but that, later in the wide lines, you'll notice, is followed by an attack of Rav Ashi on Rava's explanation, giving rise to Rav Ashi's explanation. So we now turn to the Gemara. After the question is asked, b'mai komifliki, Abaye answers, Omar Abaye, v'oisin me'ein malacha, v'ein oisin me'ein malachton ka mifligi. We're going to focus on the fragments of this broken tanur. And Abaye explains that this source features fragments that have a use, but not a baking use. That's what in Hebrew is referred to as oisin me'ein melacha. They do some function, they perform some function, however, not a baking function, not a function that characterizes the origin or the source from which the fragments come. In this case, they come from a tanur, and a tanur is designed for baking. So the fragments here do not bake. The Ozda, Rabbi Yehuda Latame, Rabbi Meir Latame, these tanoim that appear in the source are consistent with what we have seen already in our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, for example, said that a broken vessel cannot be moved around unless it performs a role or a function similar to its original vessel, the parent vessel from where the fragment came. So to over here, the fragment of the tanur featured here is not capable of baking something. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says it cannot be moved around. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, said, true, it doesn't bake. However, the fragment can be used as a cover or a lid for something, and hence it has a value, it has use. The Gemara continues, Maskif lo Rava. So Rava now asks on Abaye's explanation, Ihachi, if this is so, Ademiflagi b'shivrei tanur, instead of arguing about the fragments of a tanur, Liflagu b'shivrei kelim balmo, let their argument concern general vessels that broke. If the whole issue is the closeness of the fragment or the role of the fragment vis-a-vis the original vessel, why focus in this source on a tanur? As you notice at the opening of the source, we dashed underline shivrei tanur yoshem. But if it's as Abaye presented the matter, this source could have featured any vessel. Elo omar Rava. Rava offers an alternative explanation. He says b'shivrei tahai tanur komifligi. The machlokis surrounds a specific tanur. Disnan. We have a Tanaic source that describes the tanur that will be under discussion or under controversy. Until in our introductory remarks, we mentioned that the tanur was a cylindrical clay vessel that was placed on the ground and it was coated with mud and thereby attached to the ground as well. And coals were placed in the bottom, and things would bake in the inside walls of such an entity. In this Tanaic source, we're going to talk about the same clay cylinder, but instead of being placed flat on flat ground, it is put into a pit, sort of like a sleeve inside a pit. The diameter of this clay cylinder obviously would have to be a bit less than the diameter of the pit in order for the tanur to be inserted into the pit. The issue is what keeps it in place. So a small stone could be wedged in between the outer wall of the tanur and the inner wall of the pit, keeping the tanur in place. There is an issue that the source deals with, and Rashi elaborates quite a bit more on the heat level that's reached inside such a tanur. Let us continue now in the source. The issue being, or the reason we're bringing this source in, is because the machlokis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, concern a broken tanur that is slipped into a pit instead of placed on flat ground, and the coals are at the bottom of the pit. And the issue is how effective is the heat that is produced by the coals at the bottom of the pit vis-a-vis the entire tanur. So let's now see the source. Nosno al pi habor o al pi hadus. If a person placed his tanur on the inside a bor or a dus. A dus is a type of pit, just like a bor is. Venosan shom evan, and a stone was wedged in between the tanur and the pit, keeping the tanur fixed in place. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, im masik milamato, if you, masik is an expression referring to burning, in this case burning coals, where the fuel is at the bottom of the pit. V'hu nisok milamalo, and the heat will rise so effectively that the top of the tanur is also heated up, then tome, then it will mekabel tumo. Then the tanur is said to be fit to mekabel tumo. The imlav, if the heat is not enough, is not sufficient to heat up the top of the tanur, then tohor, then this cylinder, which we call the tanur, will not be mekabel tumo. V'chachomim omrim huyul v'husak mikol mokom tome. Since there is heat anyway, even if it's not so intense, so it's able to mekabel tumo. This source is quite vague in and of itself. The Gemara elaborates, though. Uvemai komifligi, what's the underlying point of machlokis in this source? Behai kraw, it's based on the following pasuk. This pasuk is found in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Lamed Hei. Tanur v'kirayim yutatz, tameim heim, utmeim yu lochem. The pasuk is in the context of a sheretz, a dead sheretz, a crawling type creature, that in its death communicates tuma, and in this case we're talking about the tuma that the sheretz would communicate to the tanur. So the tanur, this pasuk says that in the event that the tanur becomes tome, and unlike metal vessels that can be immersed in a mikvah, a clay vessel cannot be immersed, and in the event that it becomes tome, so your only option is to smash it if you want to remove the tumah. So the pasuk says that tanur v'kirayim yutatz. The term yutatz is a reference to the smashing of something that is attached to the ground. That's called mechuber lekarka, or practically mechuber lekarka, almost attached to the ground. This term yutatz is in contrast with another word, the word shvira, which means to break something, to smash something, but that's a reference to something that's not attached. So when you see the word yutatz, you realize you're dealing with the smashing of something that's attached to the ground. So now the Gemara continues. Rebbe Yehuda Sovar, mechusar netitza tome. The term mechusar netitza means practically attached. Something that's practically attached is something that's subject to mekabel tumo. She'ein mechusar netitza, if the tanur isn't so closely attached, then tohor, it won't mekabel tuma. V'rabbonon savri, temeim yu lochem, mikomokom. The Rabbonon say, even if it's not attached, it still is capable of being mekabel tuma. The Gemara will continue to explain the source more and more as it goes on. The Gemara asks, "V'rabbonon nami hoksiv yutatz." The Rabbonon, what do they do with the word yutatz? According to the Rabbonon, even if the tanur is not attached to the ground, it still is subject to being mekabel tumah. But the word yutatz indicated only a tanur that is practically attached, is close to being attached to the ground, is capable of being mekabel tuma. So what do the Rabbanan do with the word yutatz? The Gemara answers, Hahu li'idoch gisa. It's needed for something in the we'll call the other extreme. And the Gemara explains, the Salka Daita Chamina, without the word yutatz, I would have thought, came from the Chabre Ba'ara, once you attach a tanor to the ground, Kegufa Da'aro Domi, it becomes like the ground, and we know that things that are Mechubur Lekaka are not Mekabel Tuma, they don't absorb Tuma. Komash Malon, this Pasuk tells us that even though it's attached to the ground, it's capable of being Mekabel Tuma, and all the more so if it's not attached, which in fact is the Shita, the explanation of the Chachomim. The Idoch Nami Hoksiv Tamemu Lachem, Rabbi Yehuda, who indicated that only if it's attached to the ground would it Mekabel Tuma, what does he do with the expression of Tameim Yulochem, which the Rabbonin used to include things that are not attached, Tanurim, ovens that are not attached. Reb Yudah, on the other hand, doesn't go that far. So what does Reb Yudah do with this phrase? Answer, Hahi Kidarav Yudah Mar Shmuel. He needs it for Rav Yehuda's teaching, the Omer Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Machloikis Behesik Rishon. The Machloikis, we see in the source between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chochomim, is only insofar as the original firing up of the clay oven. That's called Hesek Rishon. That's in its initial making. As you probably know, clay vessels, in order for them to be really functional, they have to be fired up, usually placed in a kiln. So the Machlokis involves a Tanur in its making, initial stages, its making stages, a full. The Gemara goes on, behesik sheni. If you have a tanur that's already been fired up, it's already formed, and you're now dealing with its being heated up for simple baking purposes, then afilu tolu b'tzavur gomol, even if it's suspended around the neck of a camel, the tanur will be subject to tuma absorption. Oma ula v'hesek rishon l'rabbonon. As far as the sheet of the rabbonon is concerned, when you're dealing with a clay tanur that hasn't been fired up yet, afilu tolui b'tzavur gomel, even if it's hanging from the neck of a camel, it will be subject to kabbalas tuma, and that they learn from the extra expression in the pasuk tumeim yulochem. Maskif lo Ravashi. Ravashi challenges Rava's explanation. Don't forget, Rava said that the original Tanaic source in the narrow lines was featuring this kind of tanur, a tanur that was placed on a pit and it broke. So, Maskif lo Ravashi I hachi Ademiflegi b'shivrei tanur. Instead of them arguing in the original source in the narrow lines about a broken tanur, liflegu b'tanur gufa, let them express their machlokas concerning the basic tanur, even if it's not broken, as follows: hashta tanur gufa l'Rabbi Yehuda lo havei mona. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the tanur itself, if it's not firmly attached to the ground, it's not considered a vessel. Shvarov mibaya, the fragments of a vessel, the fragments of a parent vessel, certainly, let's say this again, the fragments of a parent vessel that itself wasn't mekabel tuma, the fragments of it certainly would not mekabel tuma. So, that being the case, why would the source feature the fragments of a tanur? If you focus on Rabbi Yehuda's Shita for a moment, where Rabbi Yehuda said the fragments of the tanur are not a vessel, and as is witnessed by the fact that they cannot be moved around, that's very obvious when the fragments come from an original tanur that itself wasn't considered a kli, as we saw, it wouldn't have been mekabel tuma. vessels, kalim, are makabel tumah. Something that is not makabel tumah, it's indicative that it's not a vessel. Elo omar Ravashi, li'oilom kida'amoron me'kora. Ravashi goes back to Abaye's approach. Abaye's approach mentioned that the machlokis in the Shivrei Tanur source between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda concerned the usefulness of the fragments. So Ravashi says, let's deal with that. However, he's more specific and he says, "Ubaoise maise tafka." We're dealing with fragments that are kind of flat. They are pretty much like clay tiles at this point, and they could be put into a fire. In other words, this tafka is an entity. It's a clay entity that is heated up from one side, and after it's heated up, it's exposed to the fire, to a fire, you can then place on the upper side of it, on the top of it, some dough item or a batter, and it will bake. So we're dealing with fragments of a tanur, of a clay oven, that could be used themselves, as the Gemara calls maise tafka, this, we'll call this tile use as a tile baking device. The Rebbe Meir, Ledvorov de Rabbi Yehuda Komar, and Rabbi Meir in the source is addressing Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says as follows: Ledidi afilu ba'oisin me'ein melocha. As far as I am concerned, if the fragment of the tanur does any function, fulfills any function, even if it's not food related, it still is something that you can move around in a chotzer on Shabbos. But according to you that are not so lenient, you, Rabbi Yehuda, who requires the function of the fragment being something similar to the original vessel, Odi li miha, you should at least concede to me, Dechai gavno melachtohu, that if it's an oisa maisa tafka, that is like the original vessel insofar as it is a baking device. And yet, for Rabbi Yehuda, lo domi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that the oisa maisa tafka, the clay shard that results from the broken tanur, insofar as it is being an oisa maisa tafka, is still, it's not considered me'ein melachton. It's not considered functioning in the spirit or in the functionality of the original vessel. And the Gemara spells out two differences. Hosam haseko mibifnim. In the case of a tanur, the source of heat comes from within. Hocha haseko mibachutz. The tafka is heated from the outside of it, meaning from one side of it, and the other side, the top side of it, is used for the baking. Whereas in the case of the tanur, the source of the heat and the positioning of the item being baked are on the same side. They are both from within. Another point of difference, Hosam Me'umad. A tanur, as we described earlier, was a cylindrical vessel that stood upright. That's Me'umad. Haha, this is a shard, it's a flat type vessel, or a remnant, and it's Lav Me'umad. It doesn't stand upright, it's laid flat on the ground. So, being that the fragment is so different, as far as Rebut is concerned, from the original vessel from which it came, it therefore is not something that one could move around in a chotzer. It doesn't have a kli status. Hayid Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Loza Ben Yankiv Al Shivrei Tanur Yoshon Shnitlin B'Shabbos V'Al Kisuyo She'eno Tzorach Beis Yad. Omar Ravino, Keman Metaltalinon Ho'idno Kisui De Tanuri De Masa Mechasi De Ein Lehem Beis Achiza. Ravino asks, based on whom do we nowadays, Ho'idno means nowadays, move around tanur lids of the that are found in the city of Mechasia. Masa is the city. Mechasia is the name of a city that ein lahem beis achiza. They do not have handles. Keman, based on whom is that? Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. It's based on the Tana Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov that we just saw, that said that the kisui does not need to have a handle in order for it to be allowed to be moved around on Shabbos. As we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei heading, where we've written Tiltul Kalim, the movement of vessels, Shebahem Evan Ozmora, in which there is a stone or there is a branch attached to them. Ho Evan Shebekiruya, the Mishnah says, a stone that's in a kiruya. A kiruya is the shell of certain types of vegetation, like a pumpkin or a gourd, and the shell, once it's hollowed out, can be used for drawing water. The shell, as such, is probably something that would it floats, it's buoyant, and hence, in order to increase its effectiveness as a vessel for drawing water in, from a well, one would have a stone in it, adding weight to this shell. So the Mishnah says, Ho even shebekiruya, im mimalin boveno nefelis, if you can fill water up with the stone in it, and the stone doesn't fall out, then mimalin boven, you can use it. You can use this shell with the stone in it. V'im lav, if, as you try to draw water with this pumpkin shell, the stone were to fall out, then ein mimalin bo, then you're not allowed to use it. You can't fill up with this kiruya on Shabbos. And Rashi adds at the bottom, he says, v'ein metaltanus a kiruya, you can't even move the kiruya. The shavi bosses le'evin shenisasa, the kiruya, the shell, becomes like a basis for the stone. And a stone is the paradigm of a non-vessel. So that if it's a stone that doesn't function in weighting the vessel in a reliable fashion, because the stone will fall out, so its identity is merely as a stone, and you therefore cannot move the kiruya that is holding the stone. The Mishnah continues at the top of Omid Beis, Zmora, a branch, Shikshura betafiach, that is tied to a cup, Mimalin ba b'Shabbos. You can use this for filling up, for drawing water with it on Shabbos. We have a slash mark in the Mishnah indicating that which follows is a new idea, new concept is taught here. Pekak hachalon. A pekak hachalon essentially is a window shutter. You have to imagine some boards or a wooden board that is that fits a window frame, and you would insert this in the window frame, serving as a shutter for the window. On the side of the Gemara under our Nosei topic heading, we've written Machlokes Rebelozer v'Chachamim Eich Mechinim Pekak Hachalon L'Shimush B'Shabbos. How can one prepare this pekak hachalon, this window shutter, so as to allow its use on Shabbos, kidei shelo lavor al iser boine, so as not to be in violation of the malacha, the prohibited Shabbos activity known as bona, of construction. So in your mind's eye, taking a board that fits into a window frame that would function as a shutter, you could imagine in your mind's eye as being this action is a form of building. So the Mishnah says, "Pekak hachalon, Rebbe Elazar Omer, bizman shehu koshu v'tolui, if it is tied and suspended, then pokikin bo, then you can use it on Shabbos. V'im lav ein pokikin bo, if it's not tied and suspended." Hanging, dangling, then it cannot be used. Rashi, on the second line from the top, says, V'tolui, she'eno nigro bor, it's not dragging on the ground, she'achevel shukoshu bo eno magilor, it's the rope to which the pekak is tied, is short, in so much so that it doesn't reach the ground. So the Rabbi Elazar is very restrictive. He says that in order for the Pekak HaKalon to be something you can use as a window shutter on Shabbos, it would have to be tied to the wall, to the window frame, and also dangling. The Mishnah continues, V'chomim omrim benkach u'benkach pokikin bo. This expression, benkach u'benkach, will be the focus of a discussion later in the Gemara. But basically, if you translate it, it means whether it's this or that, you can use it. The Chachamim then are reflecting an opinion that is more lenient than that of Rebbe Elazar. The Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, maybe we'll just glance at the side under our Noseh, our topic heading, where we've written, Im Evan Nasis Kli B'maise Koldu. The Gemara will deal with an issue concerning the transformation of a stone from something that has a mere stone status, which means something that you cannot use on Shabbos, you can't move it around. How does one make it into a legal vessel? In other words, the stone remains a stone, but because of something you may have done to it, it becomes a kli. So the topic is, can a stone become a kli through a maisik koldehu, meaning a negligible type action? The Gemara opens, Tanan Hossam opens with a quote from a Mishnah, Evan shal pi hachovis, a stone that's sitting atop a jar, mate al tzida, v'hi nofels. If you want to get to the contents of the jar, so you tilt the chovis to its side, and the stone will fall off. So we're describing someone that wants to, let's say, get the wine out of the chovis, out of the jug, and the jug just so happens to have a stone sitting atop it. As we go on in the Gemara, we see quite a bit of marking activity. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, we've chosen to use a double underline to highlight the names Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, and a diamond to highlight the name Rabbi Yochanan. So we're going to see Rav Ami and Rav Asi representing two deos, two opinions as to what Rabbi Yochanan holds on this topic. And later we'll see a house form surrounding the expression Mosvinin Ashmaitin. This is literally means, and we ask on what we taught. Then we'll see the Gemara in its traditional Talmudic honesty after we see opinions that present their explanations. They then challenge their own explanation with a source, and it'll be our Mishnah, and then answer the challenge. So the Gemara continues, Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Ami, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Shanu, Elo B'Shocheach. The source that we just read in the frame is describing a case where someone forgot the stone on the jug. Avo B'Meniach, but if the person deliberately placed the stone on the jug, Nase Bosis L'Dover Oser, the entire jug becomes the basis that supports the stone, and you won't be able to move it whatsoever. Rav Yosef Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan. Here you have Rav Yosef, who is the counterpart of Rabba. Rav Yosef quotes Rav Asi, whereas Rabba quoted Rav Ami, also quoting Rav Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela B'Shocheach. It's the same opening as Rav Ami had, that the din of this Tanaic source, which says tilted to its side, is a case where the person, the owner, forgot the stone on the top of the bottle. Aval b'meiniach, if it was placed there deliberately, nase kisui lechavas, becomes like a cover for the jar. And if it's a cover for the jar, then you don't have to just tilt it to the side. You can remove the stone directly, because what you're in effect doing is you're removing the bottle stopper, which happens to be that stone. And why does it gain the status of a bottle stopper? Because it was placed originally with intent on the on the jar, on the jug to keep it shut. Omar Rabo. Rabo, who is restrictive, who says that if one placed it on the jug, you can't even move it. So Rabo says, Mosvinin Ashmaitin. That means we ask on our own teaching. And we're going to see that there is room to be lenient, unlike Rabo. So what's the question that Rabo raises on his own teaching? Our Mishnah. The stone found inside the shell, if you can fill up with the shell, fill using the shell, and the stone doesn't fall out, so you can use it. What do we see then? We see here someone placed the stone in the shell, and it does not become, like Rabo said, it does not become a bosses ledover ha'aser. And furthermore, you see that the even, the stone, becomes like the vessel. The Gemara continues, velohi, and here Rabo responds and says that what one might have raised as a question is really no question. Hasam kevon de hodga shavya doifen. In the case of the stone in the kiruya, since he fastened it in place, he wedged it into the shell wall, that made it like the wall of the shell. So that makes it into a vessel. Whereas merely placing a stone on the top of a jug, that doesn't make it into a vessel. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, who is lenient, says, Umosvina Shmaitin. We can raise an objection on my leniency from the following source, which is again our Mishnah. And it says, Im Lav, if the stone would fall out of the Kiruya, Ein Memalin Bo, then you cannot use it. So we see from here that the placing of the stone does not make it into a vessel, and Rav Yosef said the placing of the stone on the jug does make it into a vessel. The lo he, however, there is no question. Hosam kevon the lo hotka betule batla. In the case of the Evan Shebekiruya, the stone in the shell, if you don't wedge it into the side of the shell, into the wall of the shell, so then you're showing us that Betule Batla means you're nullifying it from any vessel status. This is in contrast with a stone placed on top of a jug. There, you placed it deliberately to serve as a bottle stopper. And it's functional, it's useful as that. In contrast with the case of the Evan Shebekiruya, if it will fall out, so it has no function. It doesn't function as a weight even in that way. So there is no question on Rav Yosef's leniency, because Rav Yosef was describing the placing of a stone to serve as a bottle stopper, and it does do that quite well, even without any wedging in. B'mai komifliki. What is the underlying point of machlokas between Rav Ami and Rav Asi? So the Gemara explains, Mor sovar, Rav Ami is of the opinion, Bo'inon maisa. Now Rav Ami, he was the stricter opinion, if you will, and he says that the stone does not become a kli unless a maisa is done to it. A maisa, some type of action is done to it. Umor sovar lo bo'inon maisa. And Rav Asi, he is more lenient. He doesn't require a maisa. He said that if the stone was placed deliberately on the jug, it becomes considered like a vessel, like a, it's as he says, Nase Kisli Lechavis. So Rav Asi is of the opinion that you don't need a maisa. You don't need an action done to the stone to make it into something, and to make it into a vessel. The Ozdu L'tamayu, Rav Ami and Rav Asi said above what their opinions are elsewhere. In other words, they're consistent with them, with their own opinions. And this piece of Gemara is characterized by a long point marking, indicating that you need to go through all of these lines till you eventually get to Rav Ami and Rav Asi on the topic. So the Gemara says, V'ozu l'tamayu, Rav Ami and Rav Asi are consistent. D'chi osa Rav Dimi Omer Rav Chanina, V'amri lo Omer Rabbi Zera Omer Rabbi Chanina. You'll notice the triangle that appears on the side of the Gemara. We have the triangle indicates we have a Machlokis Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan, who also appears in a triangle. Im Rebbe Hitzrich Maise Bachonas Avonim. Does Rebbe require some type of action when it comes to making a stone into a vessel? Again, we're not dealing with some type of manufacture process, but we're dealing with the designation or the preparation of a stone to be able to be moved around on Shabbos. So the Gemara has Rebbe Chanina telling us, Pamachas holach Rebbe lemokom echod. Once upon a time, Rebbe went to a certain place. Umotza nadboch shel avonim, and he saw a row of stones. Rashi says nadboch shel avonim. Avonim sduros umuksos lebinim. They're stones that were set up and set aside for building purposes. So the Rebbe Chanina says that Rebbe went with his Talmidim to a particular place, and they found this Nadboch Shalavonim, this row of stones that we just described. The Omar LaTalmidov, and he said to his students, Su v'chashvu k'deshe neshev aleihem l'mochor. Think about and plan on using these stones as chairs. L'mochor, that's that. In other words, they should plan on using them as chairs the next day. V'loh hitzrichon Rebbe l'maisa. Rebbe did not require any further action. In other words, just their mere looking at the stones and planning to use them is enough. And with that, they aren't viewed as stones anymore, but rather as a vessel. And therefore, they could be moved around on Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, Hitzrichon Rabbi Lemaiser. Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi did require some type of action. My Omar Lahu. So, in that spirit, what did he tell them? And here we have what we really consider the main point, Rabbi Ami, and at the end of the line, Rabbi Asi. We said that Rav Ami and Rav Asi were consistent with what they've said elsewhere, and this is that elsewhere. So Rav Ami Omar, now Rav Ami we know from above, he says that you've got to do some maisa to it for it to become a vessel. So Rav Ami says, Tzu v'limdum Omar lehu. Rav Ami said that Rebbe told the Talmidim to go and set them up as chairs from Erev Shabbos. Rashi, a couple lines down from here, says, Tzu v'limdum, Sidru osam v'shivom, set them up as chairs, k'dei shlo nitztarech liga bohen l'moch, so we don't have to touch them the next day. L'fi she'ein hazmona b'maise koldehu, by a negligible action that's not considered sufficient to make the stone into a vessel. That's what he says, She'ein hazmona b'maise koldu mo'eles le'evan la'asos ha'kli. V'rabi ami l'tame di'omar li'el ein evan na'asos kli b'hanocha. So Rav Ami was insistent on a significant action being done, namely taking the stones and setting them up as chairs, that makes them into a kli. Just like we saw Rabbi Ami saying that a negligible action would not be sufficient. The setting up of the stones is considered a significant action. Rebbe Asi, Omar Tzu Vishivshifum Omalu, Rebbe Asi says that the Maisa that Rebbe required, according to Rebbe Yochanan, was a Maisa Koldu, a negligible action. In this case, dusting off, Shivshifum is to rub or dust off these stones. And that is what Rebbe told his Talmidim, brush them off. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice more bow tie shapes. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we indicated Hachonas Eitzim Vavonim L'Tiltul, and bow ties represent Sholosh Deis B'Mahoy Amaisa Im Rebbe V'Talmidov, three opinions as to what the incident was involving Rebbe and his students. So the first version we already saw, the case of Nadboch Shel Avonim. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi ben Shol Omar, Savor Shel Koros, was a pile of beams, of wooden beams. Have it. That's what it was, and not stones. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shol Omar, Goshish Shel Sfina Have. Goshish is a, in this case, a pole used by mariners to help in the navigation of a boat, more specifically to make sure that the boat doesn't run aground. So Rav Yochanan ben Shol says that the story involving Rebbe was where they encountered the Goshesh Shel Sfina, not a case of stones. And the issue was making them into a vessel. Mandomar Goshish, the one who said that the Goshish was used, was prepared for sitting, Kolshikain Savar, all the more so, that would be appropriate in the case of a pile of beams. So that if the story involving Rebbe, who told them to do something, and that, whatever it was a machlokis, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, but that some type of preparation would be effective. If you tell me that the story involved the Goshish, so then all the more so would it be so with regard to a Savor of Koros. Umanum or Savor, but the opinion that said that it was a Savor Shel Koros, namely Rav Yossi ben Shol, that's the story involving Rebbe and the Talmidim. Avol Goshish Kopit Ole, but with regard to a case of a Goshish, that was the mariner's navigation pole, Kopit Ole, people are very concerned that it shouldn't get bent out of shape. And as such, it's called Muksa Machmas Chisoran Kis. It's something that someone is very concerned about, and therefore they would not have been able to prepare it for sitting. So according to the one who said that it was a pile of beams, only because they are insignificant in and of themselves, they could be designated for Shabbos use. However, a Goshesh Shel Sfina, which the owners of such are very careful that it shouldn't get bent out of shape, so they would not be able to be prepared from Friday for sitting purposes. Zmora Sheik Shura V'chule, the Gemara infers, and before we go through the Gemara, let's just glance at the side under our Nosei heading. Mi Mishno Seinu Mashma, from our Mishnah, it sounds, Deboinon Likshor HaZmora L'Tafiach Kedei La'atir L'Shimush, that in order for the branch to be used on Shabbos, it would have to be tied to the cup, and on this point, Neimor Masnisin Deloka Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel. Here the Gemara is going to raise a question and say that, let us suggest that our Mishnah is that insists on the branch being tied is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who also deals with the issue of preparing wood for Shabbos use. So let's see the Gemara. Shura in lo shura lo, that the Zemora becomes something functional and movable on Shabbos is because it's tied to the cup. But if it wasn't tied to the cup, then you wouldn't be allowed to move the Zmora, the branch, around. Lema masnisin d'loshim liyal. And the long question marking indicates that we have a long question upon us now. The Gemara opens with a suggestion that we should maybe say that the Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon liyal. Disanya, we have a Tanaic source. Horios shel dekel. Palm branches, shegodron leitzim, that were harvested for fuel purposes, v'nimach aleim liyeshiva, and there was a change of mind to use them for sitting. Tzorach likshor, you would have to tie them together from Erev Shabbos. Shmuel Omer, ein tzorach likshor. According to Shmuel, there is no need to tie them together. What do we see? That in the preparation of the Chorios Shel Dekel, Rav Shmuel Eliel does not require any tying. So our Mishnah, which spoke about the branch being tied to the cup and only then is it useful, doesn't seem to be like Rav Shmuel Eliel, who says that the tying is something we could have foregone. Omar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes responds and says, Afilu Tema, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Our Mishnah could be in line with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So the question then is why is it so necessary for there to be a tying? Hocha b'mayaskinon b'mechuberes bovia. In our Mishnah, in order for it to be useful, it had to be tied. That's because we're dealing with a branch that's still attached to the original vine. Well, the Gemara asks, "Ihochi kol mishtamish b'mechubal akarka." If that be the case, then how could it be mutter even if it is tied? You're still in violation of using something that's growing forth from the ground. It's called mechubal akarka. So the Gemara answers, "Lemato nishlosha." We're talking about a branch that's attached to the ground. It needs to be tied to the cup in order for it to be useful. And how could it be used if there's an iser of being mishtamish chubal akarka? So the answer to that is because the branch is within three tfachim of the ground. And that the rabbinic restriction of using trees or things that are mechubal akarka does not apply to things that are within three tfachim of the ground. Rav Ashi, you notice we have a number two above Rav Ashi. He says afilu Rav Ashi Yomar afilu temo betlusha. Even if the branch is detached, it's not tied to the cup. Even so, Shmuel would say, let us say this again. Even if the branch is not attached to the ground, in number one we spoke about a branch that's mechuber. It's attached to the parent vine. It's still growing, basically, from the ground. Rav Ashi, approach number two, says, even if it's not attached to the ground, even so, Rav Shmuel will require the tying. Why? Gezeros shemo yiktom. We're afraid that if it's not tied to the cup and ready for use, then you might come to cut off from the Zmora, shortening the handle for your benefit, and that would be an Isser of Makib Patish, of making a vessel, making the improving the branch in through shortening it. That would be also, however, if you tie the branch as is to the cup, then we don't fear you're coming to alter it. Kak hachalon. Omar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan hakol moedim she'ein oisin oyel aroi b'tchilo b'yom tov. Everyone is in agreement that you cannot make a structure, even if it's a temporary structure. An oyel aroi, aroi is something of a temporary nature. You're not allowed to set something like that up on yom tov. V'ein tzorch lomar b'shabbos, and it goes without saying that there would be an iser of making an oyel aroi on Shabbos. Rashi gives an example of an oyel aroi. Imagine four poles, and across the top of the four poles, a piece of fabric is spread out. That would be an example of an oyel aroi. The Gemara continues. Loi nechleku elo lahoisef. The machlokes concerns the addition of something to an existing structure. Shirabelozer omer ein mosifin biyom tov. The ein tzorch lomer b'shabbes. Rabelozer says you're not allowed to add to an existing structure even on Yom Tov, and it goes without saying that it would be also on Shabbos. V'chomim omrim mosifin b'shabbes. The ein tzorch lomer biyom tov, and the chachomim are of the opinion that you can add to an existing structure on Shabbos, and it goes without saying that it would be mutter to do so on Yom Tov. Yom Tov basically is viewed as a more lenient area of halacha, and if something is allowed to be done on Shabbos, it goes without saying that it would be allowed to be done on Yom Tov. V'chachomim oimrim, beinkach ubeinkach poikikin boi. This is a quote from the upper part of the page. A little arrow appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow that you find on the fourth line from the top. And you see this is the quote from the Shitas Chachomim dealing with the affixing of a pekak hachalon, a window shutter, into place. The Gemara asks, "My beinkach ubeinkach." What is meant by whether this or that the Chachomim said? Before we get into the Gemara, just a word about the structure. Under our structural note on the side, the Mivneh heading, you notice a diamond appears. The diamond will highlight Rabbi Abba, and on the top of Kuf Chof Vav, you will see Rabbi Yirmiyah's name. Rabbi Yirmiyah also highlighted this way. Behit yachasutam laha dekotoni chomim oimrim beinkachu beinkach poking bo. These two will be referring to the chachomim's statement. So, what is meant by beinkachu beinkach? Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Kahana. We continue at the top of Kuf Chof Vav. Bein koshur, bein sheino koshur, v'hu shemesukan. Whether the board that's going to function as the pekak hachalon is tied, and even if it's not tied, it can be used provided it has been designated. It's mesukon. Rashi says muchon me'esmo lekach. It's enough for it just to be designated, and it's there, and that's enough. Omar le Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah enters the picture with a long question, and you can see our marking to the side of the Gemara indicates thusly. On the side, under our no say heading, we've indicated Heter Shimush Pekak HaChalon, the use of the window shutter, Ibo Inon Kosher V'Tolui, do we require it to be tied and suspended? Oy Sagi B'Chishev Olav, or is it enough for it to have been planned or designated as such, even if it's not Kosher V'Tolui? So far, we've seen Rabbi Abba's ruling, Rabbi Abba's explanation, that is, of the Chachamim. And now Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, Omale Rabbi Yirmiyah, why are you so lenient? V'leimo mor, why not say thusly, bein tolui ubein she'eno tolui, that the beinkach ubeinkach term that the Chachamim may say is whether it is suspended, dangling, or even if it's not suspended, v'hu shekoshur, but it must be tied. In other words, the wood planks that are going to serve as the window shutter must at the very least be tied to the window or to the wall or to the window frame. And the Chachamim's leniency is only to the extent that they don't require it to be suspended as well. And why do I suggest this? Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, "Di Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana Om Rabbi Yochanan Kemachlokis Kan Kach Machlokis Benegur Hanigrar." Just like there is a machlokis regarding the pekak hachalon, there is also a machlokis concerning the Neger HaNigrar, the door bolt that we will see featured very shortly, the door bolt that is Nigrar, that is dragging along the ground. This will be explained by the Gemara itself, the Snan. There is a Tanaic source that features this, Neger HaNigrar, Noelin Bo B'Mikdash HaVelo B'Medina, a door bolt. This is a type of a stake or a peg that's driven into a door, into a door frame that basically keeps a door from being opened. It's a type of bolt or lock. So the source deals with the door bolt in the Beis HaMikdash in contrast to outside the Beis HaMikdash in the area called Medina. These topics, even though we alluded to it before, it's worth mentioning it again, the issue concerning the Pekaka Chalon and the Negar Nigra are all in the general realm of the Isur Bone, the Isur of construction, adding to an existing structure. So the first opinion here says that a Negar Nigra can be used in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the Medina, not outside the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi points out that the nigrar is something that is tied to a doorway and one end of it is on the ground. So it's kind of suspended a bit where one end drags on the ground. We know that when it comes to rabbinic gezeros restrictions, there are fewer of them in the Beis HaMikdash as opposed to outside the Beis HaMikdash. So you'll find greater leniencies in the realm of rabbinic prohibitions when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. However, if something is forbidden on a Torah level, it'll be forbidden in both the Beis HaMikdash as well as outside the Beis HaMikdash in the same way. And therefore, as the source goes on, it says, V'hamunach kan v'kan osur. If it's not tied at all, it's simply a bolt that's lying on the ground, it will be also to be used as a door bolt on in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hamunach Mutter B'Mikdash V'Nigrar B'Medina. Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient than the Tana Kama and says that if it's Munach, it's allowed in the Beis HaMikdash. He views the door bolt as no doraisa problem, and therefore in the Mikdash it will be allowed. In the Medina, outside the Beis HaMikdash, even Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges there's more preparation or requirement needed. And if it's Nigrar, it will be allowed in the Medina. And Nigrar, we said, indicates it must be tied to the wall before you can use it. Vitanya, and we have another Tanaic source that that's contained within our frame, but it's another source. Ezu Neger HaNigrar Shinobo B'Mikshavo Medina. What is an example of the Tanakama of a Neger HaNigrar that you can use in the Mikdash and you cannot use in the Medina? Kol shekoshu v'tolui v'rosho magi el oretz. Something, a bolt that is tied to the structure, to the building, and it's suspended with one end touching the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer zeh af b'medina mutter. What we just described would be mutter even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ela ezu shebemedina oser. What would be forbidden in the Medina? Kol she'eno lo koshuv v'lo tolui v'shomto u'manicho b'keren zovis. A bolt that is not tied and certainly not suspended and is simply cast to the ground in a corner of the structure. V'omer Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba mishmei de'ula man tano neger hanigrar. Who is the author, the first opinion in this source that says that if it's Nigrar, it is also in the Medina? Rabbi Eliezer, this is Rabbi Eliezer. And we know Rabbi Eliezer. We've seen him in our Mishnah. He argued with the Chachamim regarding the topic of the Pekak HaChalon. Let's glance at the Rashi. Rashi is extremely important here. Rabbi Eliezer he, the Omar Gabi Pekak HaChalon Tarti Bo'inon. Rabbi Eliezer is the more strict opinion, and he said by the Pekak HaChalon, you require to be Koshur and Tolui. Michlal Rabbi Yehuda, who is the more lenient opinion, he is Kirabonan. He would parallel the Rabbonan. Alma Rabbonan Kshirabo, that the Rabbonan would require it at least to be tied. And hence, Rabbi Yirmiyah, on the second line from the top, was asking Rabbi Abba, why are you saying that it doesn't have to be tied? All that is necessary is that it should be designated, in the case of the Pekak HaChalon. Why not say, like we see here, in the case of the Negar HaNigrar, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that says that in order for it to be used, the Negar HaNigrar, and we're paralleling that, the case of the door bolt, we're paralleling to the case of the Pekak HaChalon, but even Rabbi Yehuda, who is the more lenient opinion, requires it at least to be tied. Omar Le, the Gemara continues with Rabbi Abba's response, Ano the Amri ki hai tano. I got my idea based on the upcoming following Tanaic source. And from this source, we will see that you don't need even kshira, even for it to be tied. Designation is enough. Desanya, we have a new Tanaic source. Kona Shiskino Balabaisias Posefano Obo. Kona is a reed that was designated by someone for the use for his door use, to use for opening and closing a door. Bizman Shikoshu Vitoli Bepesach Posefano Obo. The first opinion, which is really not the one we're focusing on right now, but he says if the reed is tied and suspended in the doorway, so you can use it. Ein kosher v'toli, ein posef v'novo. If it's not tied and suspended, you cannot use it. Reb Shmuel Eliel Omer, mesukan. As long as it's designated, this reed is designated. Afal pi she'eino kosher. Even if it's not tied to the doorway, you can use it. Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Shilas, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan Halocha Krab Shimon Ben Gamliel. We have spilled over in the Daf Yomi, Gemara marking Shir all the way down, Omed Aleph of Kuf Chavav, and in truth, the Gemara picks up, follows with a question on what we just learned, Rabbi Yochanan paskining like Rabbi Shimon Liel, that you don't have to tie it, but mere designation is enough. But since we are in the context of Daf Yomi, and we've gone a little bit over, so we will pause at this point, and with this we conclude our Shiur for today.